I'd like you to open them up to Acts chapter 5. And as you do that, if you're new or you forgot, the ushers will be happy to give you a set of notes because we began a new section, Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And it's my hope to finish this section today, Acts 5, 1 through 11. And we're looking at, will you follow Barnabas? Will you follow Barnabas? Or are you going to follow Ananias and Sapphira? You're going to follow this guy who the apostles, who so enjoyed being in his presence that they nicknamed him Son of Encouragement, Son of Cheer. They saw him as the Son of Optimism. This is the guy that they really enjoyed spending time with because he was the son of compassion, the son of assistance. Or do you want to follow after Ananias? He's got a good name, God of grace. Or do you want to follow after Sapphira? She's got a beautiful name. It's beautiful. But as we have discovered in looking at Ananias, he didn't live up to his name, God of grace. God was certainly gracious to both he and Sapphira. But Sapphira joined in her husband in not a beautiful way of demonstrating their supposed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They showed people for these last many, many centuries, and for as long as it will be until our Lord comes and takes his church away, that these three people are significant in the history of the church. And it's important, I think, to pursue Barnabas if we're going to pursue a man, as opposed to Ananias or Sapphira, because they made a terrible mistake, if you will. So having said that, if you would, if you turn to page 3 of your notes, middle of the page, I have a subtitle there. And as you can see, it says, Compromise and Deception Punished. We read last week what had gone on in Ananias' heart and as he discussed it with his wife, and she agreed. So here we're going to pick up in verses 3 and 4. But as we pick up here, I want us to go into this not feeling down or having any sense whatsoever of something awfully negative. Ananias and Sapphira were sinners saved by grace like you and me. And we don't live perfect lives. And they didn't either. And we have to remember, the church is less than a year old at this point. They don't even have all of the knowledge that you have, because they're only beginning to write the letters, Peter and Paul. The letters are only being written. They're still in Jerusalem. They haven't started out on their missionary journeys yet. Churches aren't being planted elsewhere yet. So I want us to enter back into the text. But I want us to go with our eyes wide open, spiritually wide open. I want us to be able to see the panorama of what the Holy Spirit wants us to glean. Because you and I know what he teaches us. He doesn't want us to go up here and get stored somewhere in our library. He wants it to be here, but he wants it to be down here being worked on in our hearts, so to speak. And then as we have that opportunity to live it out, and some of us may see ourselves as the Barnabases, and that's cool. But yet some of us, as we walk along here, The Holy Spirit may point out that, you know, I sound an awful lot like Ananias or Sapphira. And that's a teaching, see? That's a good thing. The Holy Spirit is saying, Ron, you have time. You and I right now, we can correct this in your life. And that's good. That is so very good. And so it should be. I want it to be in your thinking as well. So as we come to the passage, I want you to come happy. Come on, everybody, smile. Big smiles. Come on, come on. Don't frown. Stop the, you know, it takes more muscles to frown. Come on, smile. There we go. You know, just changing your countenance helps you come to anything with a better way of looking at things. So let's be open to what the Spirit will teach us here. So let's read verses 3 and 4 aloud together. You see it there? Let's read them together. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. Now, I've underlined some particularly important parts. Now, you know, we could underline the entire passage, but I don't have time to tear it all apart because some of you really want me to start moving along. I'm in no rush, and you can say, well, obviously. I don't know what the point is in rushing. I really honestly don't. You know, when I first came to the church, we were to have, you know, Sunday night worship. We were to have Sunday morning worship. We were to have Wednesday night worship. And I finally started asking people, do you really want to be responsible for Sunday night and Wednesday night besides Sunday morning? I mean, to keep me, I'm busy. I don't need to be preaching three messages on a weekend or during the week. I have lots to do. You keep me busy. So family, as we go through this, I can't even do everything historically and grammatically to pull things apart so that we really see what's going on and what these people understood and what we should understand as well. But I'll do my best to move along, even though I don't. I am the snail in the Word of God. Peter has explained that Ananias did not have to give anything away. He didn't have to sell his property. He didn't have to give the proceeds of the property to the church. He didn't have to do anything. But it is in his pretending to give everything that he is now, instead of being filled with God the Holy Spirit, he is demonstrating that he is under the influence, the control, being filled with, as Peter says, Satan. Satan. Satan is the one in control. The verb here, as you look at verse 3, filled. The Greek term here, it has the idea of control or influence. The same verb is used in the command that we saw in Paul's letter to the Ephesians that we have studied in the past, where he says, be filled with the Spirit. Let's read Ephesians 5:18 together, okay? Let's read it out loud. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit in order, and you see, in other words, this is my addition here. In other words, day by day, moment by moment, be submissive. That's your fill-in. Be submissive to the Holy Spirit. Turn to the person next to you. If you feel that in your brain, turn to the person next to you. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Dude, dudess, whatever. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is a command, as we learned when we studied this passage. If we're to be intoxicated with anything, we're to be intoxicated with God, the Holy Spirit. He is the one that is to be filling us. He is the one that is to be in control. Like in my BC days. You know, I've been drunk. I was in control of the alcohol. I was under the influence of the alcohol. We are to be not necessarily bouncing off walls and stumbling around and falling down in the Holy Spirit, but we are to be filled with Him and under His control like that. He makes it possible. He entered into you when you received the Lord Jesus into your life. He came to you with that kind of power. Here I am, use me, Ron. Here I am, use me, Susan. Here I am, use me, Deshaun. I'm right here. Don't let me just sit here idle in you. Be like Billy Graham. Ask of me and watch what I will do through you. Be submissive to the Holy Spirit. Ananias, a believer, he was influenced, as we see here in the text by Peter, by Satan, not the Holy Spirit. The fact that Peter asks, he says, why is it? He would say later to Sapphira, why is it that you have allowed this? We don't have to. You see, we when we came to faith in Christ, we received this armor. And it's important for us to think about that armor that we've received. I mean, we would do well not to just, well, I've read it in the Word of God that there is this helmet of salvation and there's this breastplate of righteousness and there's the shoes of the gospel and I have this shield that hold off all the fiery darts of the devil. And this isn't what the Lord is asking us to do. It's one to be aware. It's another thing to know you have them. Now as you wage into your day, go with the fact, I wear the helmet of salvation. I am a son. I am a daughter of the Most High God. Don't forget that. I am a prince, a princess of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And I have this breastplate of righteousness. I am saved. The devil can say whatever he wants about my former life or something that I just thought or did the other day that he picked up on and he wants to make me feel bad about. But that was covered by the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. That's done. There's no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. And we are not to cheapen that with cheap grace. We're to take it to heart. But we need to read the word and we need to hear it in our hearts and in our minds and then do it. Be thinking about all that meaning as you walk through life. Some of us just read the word of God, we move on and we forget it. It's not to be forgotten, it is to be lived. It is to be put on like this coat and my pants. My sandals, you put them on and you walk in this life in the Word. And it makes life so much different because you're under the control of God the Holy Spirit and under His influence. In lying to the church, Ananias had lied to the Holy Spirit. That is, to God. And he was responsible for his actions. He didn't have to do that. He could have woke up in the morning and done an out loud. I love doing out loud meditations. I make sure Kathy's not around because she'll probably think I'm nuts and call the paramedics or something. But I do out loud meditations. I'm a son of the Most High God. I am a son of the Most High God. Me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm a son of the Most High God. And today I want to be filled with your spirit. I really do. I want that dunamis power in me today as I'm going to be meeting people. I have no clue who I may be meeting today, along with those who I know I'm going to meet. And I'm really going to need your power for them. But I really want that. I want to be filled with your spirit. You know, speak those things out loud. Hear yourself. They're meditative prayers to him, but you really hear them instead of sitting, you know, somewhere quietly. And they aren't really landing in there so that when you step out for your day that you're really stepping out, or your day with him, as opposed to going out solo. You never go anywhere solo. He's there with you. But many of us live our day as if he's not there. We do it in our own strength. In other words, we're doing it in the flesh. And we need to be doing it in the spirit. Otherwise, we can run into problems like Ananias and Sapphira. Looking at your notes, interesting fact. Peter referred to Ananias lying to the Holy Spirit in verse 3. Now Peter referring to his lying to God. This is an affirmation of the Holy Spirit's deity. Some people have argued that the third person of the Godhead isn't God. I mean, how is the third person of the Godhead not God? I don't understand that. But anyway, they relegate him to somewhere else. This demonstrates the Holy Spirit is deity. That's one of those quote-unquote proof texts you can use, if you will. So please notice the fact that believers had the right to keep their money, their property. Verse 4 shows us that this was not Christian socialism. Benny would have been very upset had he tried to use this when he was running for president. It was a free will arrangement for the support of those who made up the church at Jerusalem, and especially those who were in need in the church at Jerusalem. But it was just temporary, because evidently the early church, they were looking at Jesus returning during their generation. In verses 5 and 6, let's read this aloud together. When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last. And great fear came upon all who heard it. The young men rose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. You know, Peter wrote about things like this. Girls, you studied, your Bible study before the one you just completed was in 1 Peter. And you'll recall this in 1 Peter 4:17. Judgment begins with the household of God. And here we have judgment taking place in the brand new church. The discipline was severe because it was an example. It was an example to the church. He is saying, don't take my holiness for granted. Don't take me for granted. He was telling the kids then, as he tells us today, I want you to pursue the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I want you to be pursuing your salvation. I want you to be working out your salvation with fear and trembling, because it is God, me, who's in you, working both the will and the work for my good pleasure in you. And that work that I started in you, I am going to complete by the day of Jesus Christ. He wanted us to see here that we need to pursue our sanctification with fear and trembling. He is a loving, warm Heavenly Father, but he is holy and he is not to be trifled with. We are to imitate him. We are to imitate him as children of the light. In other words, as we live in Christ, we will be manifesting the character of Christ to ourselves and to the people around us. So it was an example to the church. Write this down, Ephesians 4:29. See, what happened is Ananias and Sapphira, they spoke lies. They spoke lies to the Holy Spirit, to the Spirit of God. They spoke lies to God. And we have to ourselves be careful with what we say. what we say to him and what we say to one another. Because Paul, when he wrote the Ephesian church family, in chapter 4, verse 29, he says, let no corrupting talk, let no, the word there is saphros. He's saying, let no unwholesome talk. He's saying, literally, let no rotten talk, let no defiling talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up. Only that which is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace, that it may give favor to those to whom you're talking to. So we need to be careful as children of the Most High God as to what we say out loud to one another. Write this down, Ephesians 5:4. Again, Paul writing to the Ephesian church family, he says, let there be no filthiness or foolish talk or crude joking which are out of place. Let there be no filthiness coming out of our mouth. You know, we've all completed our elementary education. I think the majority of us also completed high school. Some of us have gone on to college. So we ought to have enough vocabulary already memorized that when we're speaking to each other, when we're writing things out to other people, when we're typing things to other people, that we don't have to use unwholesome words. We don't have to do that. Well, you know, I use it for accentuating something I want to say. Well, in my writing that I give to you, I put in bolden things that I want to say, but they're not profanity. We can still say the same thing, but we might be challenged to go find another word that isn't profane to use in making an emphasis to someone that we're talking to. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 8, also not in your notes, Colossians 3:8, he says, but now you must put them all away. What must I put away, Paul? Well, the Colossian church is learning here that they need to put away. They need to throw away from them anger, wrath, malice, slander. Oh, and obscene talk from your mouth. Our mouths get us in trouble. But today it's not just our mouths. Our fingers become an extension of our mouths, right? You know, we've got Twitter, and we've got Facebook, and we've got email, and we've got text messaging. And they let you say whatever you want. But our Lord is saying, no, you're my son, you're my daughter. You don't have the right to say whatever you want. You represent me. And I want you to speak in a wholesome way to whoever you decide you want to talk to. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 34, I love this because it's the Lord Jesus himself. There are ways to say tough things. I never see the Lord actually being mean. I just see him, you know, he wants to be tough. So this is what he does in terms of emphasizing something. In 12:34, Jesus says, you know, he's talking to the Pharisees. That's the context. And he says, listen, you poisonous snakes. You ever been called a poisonous snake? You're a poisonous snake. Now, he says, you brood of vipers. You brood of vipers. How can you speak good when you are evil? And they are. We're either in two families, only one family at a time. We either come out of the devil's family, out of the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God's dear son. We're either in his family or we're in his family. And he says here, you brood of vipers. I'm going to use that sometime when I'm really ticked off at somebody. You poisonous snakes. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know, when we get carried away sometimes with our language, put that down. I'm completing it, Tom. I'm going to complete it. Now I'm lost. It's your fault, Tom. You know, our mouths, we need to watch them. They reveal what's really in our hearts. So be careful when speaking face to face, texting, emailing, Facebooking, Twittering, etc., etc. Now you might think, we're going to go on here. Looking at your text, the Greek term, the Greek word here, epsucho, translated "breathed his last," means to die, to expire, to you're now moved into extinction. It's used here to describe sudden, terrible, judicial. That's part of your fill-in. Judicial death. That was the divine judgment. You say, wow, I'm glad he doesn't do that anymore. I'm not so sure he doesn't. And the reason I'm not so sure he doesn't is because we only have to travel. I forget the guy's name in Exodus when Moses was taking them out of Egypt and he goes up on the mount and he gets the Ten Commandments, and anyway, this one guy's leading them in rebellion, and all of them get, okay, they all get wiped out. I mean, don't mess with our Heavenly Father. Yeah, he loves. But you see, again, agape love is seeking one's best and greatest good at his expense. And his expense is, if I've got to kill all these people off and send them to Sheol or to hell or whatever, I will do it for my glory. My honor. I deserve people to glorify me. And then we see the same thing, I think it was Achan, when Joshua, they came across the Jordan River, they took Jericho, and Achan, he keeps some of the stuff he shouldn't have kept, and he is killed. He is judged, divinely judged. And then Paul, as you read in his first epistle, his first letter to the Corinthian church family in chapter 11, you hear me speak it most of the time when I bring us before him for the Lord's table. It says here in 1 Corinthians 11, beginning in verse 28, you'll recall this. He says, let a person examine himself. It's important that we really take a good look-see in our lives. That's why Pastor Eugene leads us before we truly enter into a time of worship to examine ourselves to see if there is sin that needs to be repented of. Because we cannot enter into a genuine worship of our Lord Jesus Christ if there is known sin in our lives. Because we don't worship him by the outward signs of hands lifted, or kneeling, or any of these physical signs. All those may be indicative of that, but we worship him in spirit and truth. Our spirit meets his spirit. And our spirit will not meet his spirit and in truth if we are harboring sin in our lives. We're just fooling ourselves. So here he says, let us examine ourselves, and so that we eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body, without really looking at yourself, eats and drinks judgment to himself. Because, you see, we're bringing dishonor upon the very work of our Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross, that which would bring us to salvation. We are making fun, if you will, of his horrific sacrifice. So anyone who eats or drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak. Do you know people who are weak in the church today? And I'm not saying it's because of sin. I don't know their hearts. But here's what Paul is saying under the influence of the Holy Spirit. But many of you are weak, at least in the Philippian church, or excuse me, the Corinthian church, and ill, and some have died. There it is again, divine judgment. But if we judge ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. There's the good news. That's the good news. So as you look back at your notes, here in verse 5, we're going to see this word that's translated in English, great fear, mega fear. It's the Greek word phobos, used here in verse 5, and it means terror. I think that's probably what my mom should have named me. Phobos, stop beating up your brother. That's probably what she meant. She just didn't know it. But it means terror. Terror, object of fear, including the idea of astonishment and amazement. Because Jesus Christ is love personified. And we get confused at times. We're thinking that it's this phileo love that's always filled with emotion and this warm affection and so forth. But this is agape love that is demonstrated, seeking our best and our greatest good. Learn. This breaks my heart to have to do this, but learn. So the young men of the church family, because of their strength for such a task, they carry away Ananias' corpse away and they bury it. This is the first recorded burial in the Christian community. And it's a shame that it has to be of a hypocrite. It's a shame that it has to be of someone who was deceptive, who compromised. That's tragic. Look at your notes. I've written there, please note, we must be absolutely clear as to what Ananias' sin was. It was not a casual compromise or deception. Rather, he faked a deeper spiritual commitment than he had. This would be what we call fake news today. The fact is, we share Ananias' sin. Not when others think we are more spiritual. We share Ananias' sin. Not when others think we are more spiritual than we are, but when we try to make others think we are more spiritual than we are. Well, there's some examples, and I have 2.5 more pages. Okay, I'm going to have to pull up stakes here. I really thought I was going to get through this. I was trying real hard. So, family, As we move forward, thinking about what we see in Barnabas, come on, let's you and me, let's do what we can, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, we can't maintain and manifest something that is not really ours to manifest. And Ananias and Sapphira, they're really trying to do that, but they can't. You see, we need the Holy Spirit. We need to be under his control. We need to be influenced by him going forward from here this morning, this afternoon, tomorrow, each day. I hope you'll get up in the morning and you'll have that conversation with the Lord. Okay, it's a new day, Father. Here I am. I want to be used of you today in whatever way you want me, with my employer, with my employees, with my teachers, with my parents, with my kids, with my spouse. I want to be under your control, your influence. I want to make a difference today. But you making the difference in other people's lives through me. And I want to do that with passion. So when I get out there, I want to be like, I mean, really filled with the Holy Spirit. I can't imagine not being like somewhat a little bubbly when we're really filled with the Holy Spirit. Kathy knows when I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit. It's usually most mornings when she comes sauntering in and she's... She's got this hum going on all the time. She has this song in her heart. Literally, drives me cuckoo. And especially in the morning. As I've told you, when I get up in the morning, I look in that mirror and I say, look, old man, I don't want to deal with you. Move over. I've got to shave. I give him the shave first every morning. But I'm tired, and all of that's in the flesh, family. All of that's fleshly. You understand? That's flesh. Spirit is this enormously wonderful, irritating woman who walks into my life. Good morning, Ron. She has the Spirit. I'm still in the flesh. You know, you read in Galatians 5, the war between the flesh and the Spirit. That's the way it is in the morning. My flesh, her spirit. But I want to encourage you. You see, this is real. We need to move from the pages of words to saying them out loud. Father, I want to be passionate for you. I want to be moving towards peak performance. I want to be pursuing the upward call that you have on my life in Christ Jesus. I want to be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. I want to be one of your courageous men, one of your courageous, in your case, women. I want to be that person that is going to seek the initiative today with your help. I'm going to seek your kingdom and your righteousness, and you're going to provide everything else that I need as I move along. I want to see myself experiencing the Lord Jesus more and more and more, that I can be more and more like him. I want to be a person used by you to create change. I want to see someone come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to see the white become red. I want to be able to be that person's discipler. I want to teach them all the things that you have taught me. I want to see change take place that is eternal for someone. I want to be used by you. I want to have the power of identity. I want everyone to know, why is that guy so different? Why is Kathy filled with this song? It's because she's filled with God the Holy Spirit, this beautiful manifestation of God himself inside a human being. So family, put it together, live it out, make it real. Don't let these words just become words that go back in the book and you go, I'm done. No, take them out. Speak them out loud. Shout them out loud. Walk around reading them out loud. Just getting your whole body moving will make a significant difference. And it'll be like, you know, I'm ready to go out there. I'm ready to take on the devil. You know, Holy Spirit first, I'll follow you. That's what I'm pushing for, family. That's what I believe he wants for you and for me. Get it? All right, let's pray. Oh, gracious Father, thank you so much for Barnabas. Thank you so very much for imparting all of this information to Luke that he could inform us as to, here we can see the blessings and the appropriate behavior that you want to see in our lives. As it stands juxtaposed to Ananias and Sapphira. What beautiful names you gave them. And what a beautiful thing it would be to live a life that we can say, God's grace. God has filled me with his grace. And likewise, I have this beautiful life in Jesus Christ, Sapphira. Father, make these things real and alive and change us. May we be these people that are transformed by the renewing of our minds, and thus we become imitators of your one dear Son, and we walk as children of light, manifesting your character to the people around us and enjoying that character as we share it. So, Father, these things we ask this morning in the name of him who makes it all possible, your Son, our Lord, our Savior, our sin bearer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.